gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller. What's a big moment? Chris Christie has thrown his weight behind Mitt Romney. That's really? Yikes, and crushed him to death. No, he did not. He did not. It's Wednesdays. That's why I'm so giddy.
Steffi.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Heavy breathing, I hear. Why? Could it be?
Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, leave it to Chris Christie to take a bold step towards the front runner.
Toward the completely inauthentic front runner.
Exactly. Just way to swing for the fences. You know what? A lot of guys aren't going to back this guy. And by a lot of guys, I mean the six people who like Rick Santorum.
By the way, you are going to kiss me and date me when you hear this magical segue. Because speaking of inauthentic Mitt Romney and authentic Hal Sparks, I would like to start Ustream with a tribute to Hal Sparks, which
what?
I found online.
Really?
I thought nobody slobbered over you quite as much as I do, but somebody does on 900-pound gorilla.
Oh.
This is a perfect juxtaposition. Sexy liberal, completely inauthentic conservative.
Yes.
Mitt Romney.
900-pound gorilla? Are you talking about Chris
Christie? It is a piece entitled, we'll put this on our thing, 900-pound gorilla, Hal Sparks, Steve Jobs, and the loss of sincerity. This isn't really about Hal Sparks, the actor-comedian-turned-activist. It also isn't about the late Steve Jobs. But an incident Saturday on the Hal Sparks radio program revealed something lost in this country, at least in the media. And it is fundamental to a bygone American media as truth and facts are an insight. Hal began his program Saturday with an homage to Steve Jobs. Hardly a minute into the remembrance, Sparks broke into tears, overcome with emotion, as he thanked Jobs for the amazing ingenuity which has so deeply affected his life.
Ingenuity.
Ingenuity.
Ingenuity is something different.
He probably pronounced it right. Mm-hmm. Why don't you shut up while I'm in the middle
okay.
of a tribute to a fine American yes. who is our good friend.
Yes, ma'am.
Sometimes he choked back emotion, we just forget to say thank you. But there was something more in those words than the emotion. It was true, unadulterated, honest sincerity. He's an actor, sir, for God's sakes. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I interrupted my own tribute with a snarky
way to
joke.
Go there, Steph.
I was struck at first by the emotion, at second by the realization that we are in danger of losing the ability to discern true sincerity from manufactured emotion. Here's what I mean. It was a real moment. It was a non-political, non-commercial commercial display, which has become dangerously rare in our culture, especially in the media, in which everything is absolutely for sale. Oh, Hal Sparks is for sale, trust me. See what I did again? Now I interrupted
That's
my...
That's not true.
Sparks didn't pin the wheel the moment into a tirade on some political or social ill. He brought us to a place that had touched him deeply. He said his heartfelt piece and let it go. Kudos to Sparks for taking a moment just to be human.
Oh, thanks.
So there.
I appreciate that.
Aw.
I'll read the actual article without the kind of snarky inserts by a friend undermining
it's, a friend
its
that
quality.
Loves.
And
content. Yes. It's a friend that kids because they love.
Yeah, you know, I have to say, I wasn't expecting to really fully kind of be as emotionally affected on the air as I was, but I couldn't not be.
May I just take a moment to say, I think that's the difference between our sides. Not that we're perfect on our side, but our tears are real.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the chick that cries on the radio.
Yeah.
When my dog died, when I came out, when Gabby Giffords was shot. I mean, mm-hmm. There is a difference. Glenn Beck, I'm sorry. That is just totally manufactured horse
poop, yeah, well,
in my
Vicks
opinion.
That's Vapo Rub.
Yes.
I mean, that's...
Yes. But
which has made me cry since I was, I think.
Four. That's why, as we always say, being sexy is mm-hmm. or being liberal is sexy because
if
it's empathetic, it's open minded. Mm-hmm. It's what it happened on his show Saturday.
If people wanted to hear that, is there a podcast available of that?
There is. Well, you can watch the Ustream. All the
okay.
they're logged in, and then we put the shows up on a podcast. They're gathering them right now. To,
okay.
You know,
all right.
Good for you.
But,
and
yeah.
see. Liberal men, secure enough in their own masculinity.
That's right.
Yeah.
To not just cry when heavy things fall on them. And we applaud him. And if you have ever seen the way Hal Sparks looks at an Apple product, you would know that this is real.
Being genuine, yeah.
I've never seen you look at any woman like that. As much as I try.
Yeah.
I try to hypnotize you over here.
I did my first webmaster work on Macs. My first computer was a Mac 128K and, you know, the original Apple itself, the one in the ad.
Right.
I still have it and it still boots up.
That's
how
nerdily
attached I am.
Yeah.
To it, but my career, I have a career that was actually made possible by technology because I was able to do more coming from with no relatives in the business, no mm-hmm. foot up because of Apple technology, and it mattered a lot. So.
Yeah. Yeah, well, good for you. Good for you. And people noticed. It was. That's the difference. What they're trying to say is there's so few real moments that people go,
yeah, what is that?
Wait a minute. That's, huh? He's not selling anything. Wait a minute.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, good for you.
Aw, thanks.
All right. And you can, you know what? If you just want some hot visuals to go with that, there's new pictures up from Seattle from Sexy Liberal. Check it out.
New pictures. It sounds like you said nude pictures.
No. Wow. We've all seen those, pal. No, new pictures.
Safe Sir John, kids.
Seattle.
Safe Sir John.
Go to Sexy Liberal on Facebook, sexyliberal.com, and get tickets. Listen, it's going insane in October, the big hometown party in L.A. Coming up, only very, very few tickets left for Friday, October 21st. By the way, San Francisco? Be crazy. I'd be crazy. That theater is 2,000 seats, and it sold out Saturday night and almost sold out on Friday.
Yeah.
That's craziness.
I don't know. I think it makes total sense.
I thought Seattle bitches be crazy, and it turns out San Francisco bitches be crazier.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you. Yay. Yay for San Francisco.
Well, you know, again, this is what I call the preaching to the choir
event?
Arc
yeah.
of the Sexy Liberal Tour. We go to Seattle and San Francisco and places like that. And we're just kind of like, hey, we all feel the same way, right? Group hug.
Yeah.
See you next year.
Rockstar cheer. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. They just buy tickets to get away from those people out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to be with people that are sane.
Well, some of the people, you know, like in South Carolina or in Fort Lauderdale or Denver, or, you know, there's actually a reason to, like, group together with other liberals because you do kind of feel surrounded
spooning.
By morons.
They're spooning Phoenix. At those shows. They're spooning.
Yeah.
Yeah, Phoenix also
it's
going insane.
It's a great place to meet people. I'm just saying, you can sign up for a dating site and click the liberal box, or you can just come to one of the Sexy Liberal shows and knock boots with anybody to your right or left.
People getting along with Sexy Liberal, strange,
what's
just
up?
Saying. Two words, by the way, about Seattle. Par-tay.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, par-tay. All right, just saying. All right, here's, by the way, we've been trying to put our finger on... because I think Roland, to a director, said, it actually embarrasses me to say this, I think we're going to be the top-selling comedy show in the country, the tour in the country this year.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
And by the way, did you hear about this? Bill O'Reilly and Dennis Miller are starting a tour now.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, $500 a ticket, the VIP, the meet and greet. For that.
Wow.
Right-wing
bring
comedy.
Gum to offer both of them. I'm just going to say from personal experience.
Breath? Whoa. Little breath issues?
Bring gum.
Yeah.
Because they both have old man acid breath that's all based on anger and crap diet.
Well,
especially Dennis. Dennis is like your eyebrows will fall off. You'll think, why are there two caterpillars on my desk?
Yeah.
And that's because you just spoke to Dennis Miller and they're laying on the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So we'll see how that that tour goes. That
but
comedy,
that's
going to
eat into
tour.
Him performing at the Orleans Casino off the Strip in Vegas. He's got dates there. I've seen his name on
there. All right. Let me just. I found a story in the LA Times.
Playing
just
at the Orleans.
Just to play compare and contrast. Uh-huh. Here is. Give me some comedy music. This is why I think Sexy Liberals are doing so well. And right-wing comedy?
Computer says no.
So much. Mitt Romney? There's a...
Who is hilarious, but not on
yes,
purpose.
Yes, no, this is Mitt Romney. Somebody did a whole montage of his jokes.
Yeah.
I don't know what's considered funny in Republican circles. I can't even locate the source of what they think is even vaguely a joke in the middle of it.
Sarcasm is what rednecks have instead of a sense of humor. A lot of their stuff is based on, that'd be real great, wouldn't it? That's pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, the LA Times calling it, the verdict's still out on his 1950s era humor. Wait for this. You might want to preemptively hold your ribs. At a New Hampshire diner this summer, for example, he suggested that Eggs Benedict should be served on hubcaps, quote, because there's no plates like chrome for the hollandaise.
Wow.
Oh.
Is there
like a Utah joke book? Like, here are jokes you're allowed to tell in Utah.
Okay, wait. There's more. On Monday in Milford, when Ann Romney told the crowd her role at the campaign was to show voters, quote, the other side of Mitt, which you might not all get to see, her husband, wait for his physical humor, turned around and showed his back to the audience. It was a little physical comedy. It was a pratfall. Ann Romney paused as the crowd laughed. No, wait. Even more pathetic, the crowd laughed at that. Ann Romney paused as the crowd laughed. Oh, dear, she said with a laugh. that must be the Republican political. Well, that's what my mom always says.
Mitt Romney telling a joke is like when a robot walks stairs for the first time. Yeah. It's awkward, uncomfortable, and stupid, but you kind of go, but that's amazing.
Oh, wow. Just
I didn't even know they had the technology to make that possible.
Is Republican comedy, is it like T-ball, Hal? Is it just, look, they even hit it, and wow. Well, look, Mitt even attempted, and you missed, but it, yikes.
Well, once Sarah Palin started, going to lamestream media like an airplane joke in the mid-80s.
Yeah.
That is actually the arc. That's the pinnacle of right-wing comedy is the lamestream media pun.
By the way, Ann Rom, you stole that from my mother. My mother has the patented Republican political mom. Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
For years. They're not even original. They stole my mom's act, for God's sakes. Yeah, actually, it's funny you bring up robots. This story, Romney exudes confidence in New Hampshire on the eve of participating in the debate. That was yesterday. Mm-hmm. He returned to old haunts, exuding the air of a candidate who was leading by double digits in that state. That was a marked contrast to his previous stop in December 2007. Back then, the former governor was often on the defensive about his authenticity. What?
No, you don't say.
And his changed positions on, I love how they list things, like it's not just everything.
A couple of things.
Issues such as abortion, gay rights, and gun control. And here's my favorite part. Some dismissed him then as scripted and robotic. To which he replied,
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger. Danger, Will Robinson. Here's the, by the way, officially, to be completely respectful of the front runner of the GOP, Mitt Romney has only changed his opinion on two topics. Things he was for and things he was against.
Yes, thank you. All
he did was change those things, but everything else he's left exactly.
I have 17 minutes after the hour. You know what, Chris? I have a genius plan for you. Send it. Here's what we do: is that we do a little montage of Mitt Romney debating himself. We'll just take clips from now and from when he was governor of Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. 19 minutes after the hour, back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you like it?
It's brilliant!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, in the midst of Hump Days with a Hal. Jennifer Palmieri, of the president of the Center for American Progress Action Fund, coming up in just a few minutes.
Fantastic.
And then, I don't know why, if it's coincidence, Representative John Yarmouth, because Wednesday is the day we have all great things from Kentucky.
From the formerly great state of Kentucky. Before it was run by Mitch McConnell and Rand Paul.
Who
running this junk the state.
This has so you written all over it of all the hysterical fear mongering about the Occupy Wall Street protests, which are freaking out the right wing. Rand Paul, what was his? He is afraid. This is just so 6 degrees of Hal Sparks.
Mobs.
He is afraid. Yeah,
zombies.
They're not just mobs. They're mobs that are there to steal people's iPads because they're jealous that rich people
jealous
have iPads.
No, the scariest thing about the OWS movement, and by the way, it's hashtag OWS if you want to get on the Twitter about it.
Sure.
And we're big supporters here.
Yeah.
All around
the
Occupy Wall Street. And I think an important distinction being made is that, you know, there was a couple people, I think, borderline agent provocateurs that were involved in the Occupy movement, people trying to mess with it from the right, and some people standing there making sure they jockeyed for interview positions, saying, this is a nonpartisan, this is people of all stripes. Meanwhile, every Republican coming out, not just against it, but almost violently so, like, shut this down, don't let them be heard, don't pepper spray them, for it, meanwhile, you got Democratic senators and congresspeople coming out legitimately for it. The president offering sympathy to even his Fed chairman saying
Mitt Romney flip-flopped and now he feels the 99% pain. He did.
Yeah.
He said, no, I understand now.
He of all people gets it.
Goodness, I'm upset too.
Because without the 99%, who would do all the construction on my house for below minimum wage?
Yeah, exactly. Here's my favorite thing is everybody trying to rewrite history on the Tea Party. Because these people are, you know, they're dirty and slobby and stuff, and Tea Party was so well behaved. And
they pooped directly on the streets, according to Sean Hannity.
Really?
That's coming up later on in Right Wing
World. It's
not
new in New York, for God's sake.
Yeah, how in New York can you tell what came from a protester and what's just kind of normal New York road
business?
Yeah, I did
it in front of me once.
Really?
I was oh, man.
And it wasn't a review or anything.
Right on the sidewalk. Right. Really?
Yeah.
Damn. Like, Columbus Circle, I was pretty sure that's where it was.
Mm-hmm. You think with all that money Glenn Beck gets paid that he could go indoors? I don't think he's house trained.
He made that.
I'm going to go on record and say I don't think Glenn Beck is house trained. I'm going to go from his barking on television, his weird sweatiness.
I think he's paper trained.
No, I think he has one of those little fake grass patches in his office or in the studio, in the radio studio just
next
to him.
Yeah.
That he can deal.
Or from the Sky Mall catalog. That's the only place I've seen it.
Yes.
Maybe he's not crying. Maybe his eyes are watering from the stench. But either way.
Yeah, this is the kind of stuff going on. Spooked by Occupy Wall Street, Peggy Noonan rewrites the Tea Party past.
Yes.
Yeah, they're kind of cleaning that up. Now, I think they just green screen out any of the racist signs anything. The guns, all that stuff. It was just a, you know, peaceful bunch of fine Americans. Conservative commentators doing their best as the Occupy and Wall Street movement spreads to undercut, even demonize the grassroots movement. One way is by comparing them to the unfavorably to the Tea Party movement and suggests that the New York protesters aren't serious and thoughtful the way Tea Party members were.
Right. That was the big thing.
It takes a lot of thought to get the bone in the president's nose just right on your sign. You know?
We're serious and thoughtful because we're coordinated by the Koch brothers and Dick Armey through FreedomWorks. That's a serious, thoughtful part. What are we rooting for? Wall Street screwed America, so...
Yeah,
don't deregulate. Let them cut them loose.
Phil Kristol said yesterday they're protesting over-regulation of Wall Street. That's what Occupy Wall Street is. That's what they're protesting.
He's right. Trying to pass that off as truth.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and he's been right before, right?
Sure, always. Peggy Noonan writes that the key difference between Occupy Wall Street and the Tea Party is that Obama critics were politically mature and that activists camped out in Manhattan are not. Okay, so let's review the fun facts. Tea Party rallies famously dotted with swastika posters. An Iowa Tea Party group erected a billboard comparing Obama to Hitler.
Right.
Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Or that former Tea Party boss Mark Williams denounced America's first black president as half-white racist president. This is from a summer 2009 Wall Street Journal report. Adolf Hitler was for exterminating the weak, not just the Jews and stuff, and socialism. That's going to happen. Rather than do their homework and understanding the issues of the day, Tea Party are simply parroted Fox News and AM talk radio rhetoric. They rallied against fictional death panels, claimed health care reform would ban private health insurance, urged the Federal Reserve be terminated, denied climate change, and invited a birther to address the Tea Party convention. Tea Party, of course, a movement built on misinformation.
Isn't that how you enjoy the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
Exactly. My point. All right. It's the whole dirty hippies argument from the 60s all over again. Right. Yeah. All right. 29 minutes after the hour, back with Jennifer Palmieri next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Live in our studio where
Stephanie Miller,
a checkout girl in a cheap dress who wants to be a model, is ready to draw the winning numbers.
That's our show.
Hello. Good morning, Jim Ward.
Morning.
34 minutes after the hour. You know, I don't know if you heard me. I was talking about the somebody in an LA Times article once said that Mitt Romney used to be perceived as too scripted and robotic.
Yes. Yeah. Like
just saying.
I think he was... on the roster to play Hal in 2001.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, Dave. I can't do that.
Dave.
Without your space helmet, you're going to find that rather difficult.
It can only be attributable to human
error.
All right. 34 minutes after the hour, Jennifer Palmieri, she has a big fancy title. You know, she's the president of the Center for American Progress Action Fund, which is, she's a superhero. She's a progressive superhero.
We agree.
Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
I always picture you wearing... tights and a big P for progressive on your outfit.
Do you know that we have a panel on superheroes at our American Idea conference this afternoon?
Do you really? Tell us
about
it.
Well, It's, first of all, I have to say, I have never once not done the show starting off chuckling at the ridiculous weirdness that, like, follows.
Thank you.
The commercials.
So proud. Yes, thank you.
The sexy Florida tour?
Oh, the sexy liberal tour. Yes.
Sexy liberal tour.
Coming to Fort Lauderdale. That's all good.
What? Wait, did she just say, what is
the liberal tour? Are you kidding me, Jennifer?
I just wanted to make sure I got the name correct.
Sexy liberal tour. Yeah. All right.
Jennifer.
In fact, I believe sold out already in Fort Lauderdale, now that you mentioned it. But anyway, Jen, tell us about the more important Center for American Progress two-day conference. I love this, actually, because we were just talking about Steve Jobs, examine the core American ideas and values that have catalyzed progress and innovation in our country. Talk about American exceptionalism. You know, Steve Jobs is a perfect example, right?
Right. Like, what is the American idea? Steve Jobs, in two words, that sort of, you know, sums up the concept of the American dream and of the promise of America. But the conference that we're having here today is called The American Idea, A More Perfect Union. And, I think of it as sort of the progressive answer to American exceptionalism. And, if you look at there's a school of thought on the Republican side that is actually somewhat thoughtful about what American exceptionalism means, but more often than not, it's just America.
And by the way, thank you for playing the accordion while you do this. You're like the Judy Tenuta of the progressive
movement.
I'm
at the Decatur House, and there's
lots of phones.
Services coming through.
Oh, yes. Secret.
They're sweeping for Secretary Clinton's seat. So
it's punctuating your very good points. But anyway,
but it's like America's not great because of what we've done in the past. What makes America really great is the idea of America. That, you know, that anyone, no matter who you are, no matter where you're born, you work hard, you can succeed. And that, as a progressive, I think about in terms of the preamble of the Constitution, a more perfect union, right? We're always pushing to make things better and never satisfy with the way things are. And, the founders set it up that way. For us, they understood it wasn't perfect the way it was and that we were also pushing for more. So,
well, I love that you guys are doing something positive. Hal and I always joke about being happy, clappy liberals, but, you know, it's true. When you know, we're in this sort of depressed state and the economy and yada yada, you forget stuff like that. And Steve Jobs is a perfect example. Silicon Valley, the auto industry is a perfect example of, you know, Americans that are innovating and succeeding. And I think this is go ahead.
The middle class is an American idea. You know, that concept was born here, and it didn't happen by accident. It happened because after World War II, we put into place the GI Bill, labor laws, things that made it possible for families to do well, to succeed, this is partly for us to pause since we're in a difficult time now. Look at the founding of the country, the ideas that it was founded on. Remember some of the reforms that we did throughout the 225 years. That got us through difficult times, and say, okay, reflecting on that, what do we need to do now to get the country back on track and more prosperous, where opportunity is available again to everyone.
And by the way, is there a website specifically for this event?
There's a website. If you go to AmericanProgress.org, you will see. If you go to American Idea, you'll see this where the program is, and we also have some essays that we've already done on progressive ideas and sort of the history of the progressive movement here. Because, you know, we also need to remind ourselves progressivism is a very fundamental American phenomenon, right? It started here. It's not laissez-faire, for example. This movement, the arc of our country's history is one of progress.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I love, I just keep flashing back to the Chris Matthews promo because he keeps talking about American exceptionalism. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, it is true that the president, for instance, is a perfect example of that. And I think that's Chris's point in the promo is, you know, that we're up against people that are just sort of regressive in every way, aren't they? I mean,
they think that when they look at the Constitution, I just left hit a great panel on the Constitution. The Constitution itself, just the act of forming the Constitution, was a very progressive act. Because, you know, we had the Articles of Confederation. It wasn't working. And so we got together and said, all right, we the people, for the first time in human history, we the people, in order to form a more perfect union, that we're going to take these steps. And we see a lot on the right, with the top of the Constitution, all they talk about is liberty to the exclusion of all the other constitutional values. And it's more liberty masked, you know, like social Darwinism masked as liberty.
I've always said that they, you know, Republicans love America, they just hate the United States part. That's the part that bugs
them. I mean, you know, Hal, it's funny you say that. I can't remember whether it was a Republican debate, but it was some Republican that talked about the auto industry bailout was a horrible idea. And I'm like, really? We saved the American auto industry and how many jobs they have innovated. They're number one again. They paid us back with interest. Really?
And every,
it's a perfect example of American
exceptionalism.
And
worldwide, every other auto company is supported by their government through subsidies on that level almost constantly.
That's why China is so far ahead of us, Jen, and solar.
America, we're gonna start acting like a team.
I mean, and part of the reason why Solyndra failed, I mean, the Chinese are subsidizing solar to a crazy degree, and you know, and then when one company fails, I mean, that's the thing, is you've got to take risks to innovate, mm-hmm. right?
And these things could only happen, you know, like the auto industry at that. Henry Ford, Steve Jobs, these things have always happened in America.
Right. Yep. Well, you know, it's interesting, too, that, you know, Steve Jobs was adopted. They know his biological mother is his.
Right.
His father's assumed to have been a Syrian national.
Yep.
Which is amazing, because were he to be here in America right now, sort of the right wing would kind of run against his existence. I mean, arguably, he has a similar background in many ways to the president. You know,
sure.
And coming up through the works and going, we just, through the American university system, through the American business and entrepreneurial system that it exists before, without this deregulation fervor. These guys came into their, you know, especially Steve Jobs, in the late 70s, early 80s, before this deregulation Reagan thing came into power, essentially. They managed to do quite well and create a lot during that.
Now, Jen, just tell us quickly before you go, you weren't able to book any big names. I see Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is the only person you have today.
Yeah, we have Secretary Clinton. We had Governor Martin O'Malley last night, who was really terrific. He's a very very inspiring fellow. He really speaks in the American idea from an important values place, particularly about the dignity of the individual is something that motivates everything that he does. He was really great too. And we have a superheroes panel, because superheroes are an American progressive creation and tradition, right? They're fighting for justice. They're fighting for the underdog. So we're trying to make it, a little fun here today as well.
Will there be tights involved or no?
The woman who's in charge of this panel is pretty unconventional. Uh-oh. So
all right, I've lived my
I've checked the website for.
I've waited
on
my whole life to see Al Franken in tights. Now, Jen, tell us again, AmericanProgress.org. You can find all the info.
AmericanProgress.org, American Idea.
All right, yes. Terrific, Jen. Always a pleasure. Talk to you soon.
Thanks very much, guys.
All right,
take care.
Okay, bye. She sounded like she was in the middle of a roller derby match.
Well, I mean, they got a lot going on.
Yeah, it's busy. There's a lot of jostling.
Yeah. By the way, the AmericanProgress.org site is fantastic. You know, they're, as think tanks go, especially, they're very good at putting, you know, the rubber to the road, as it were. Like, a lot of their stuff actually makes sense. Instead of writing a bunch of papers like the right-wingers do, they just kind of go, if we just quit bothering millionaires, the world would be full of rainbows and happiness.
And leprechauns that fart gold dust.
That's right. Here's, if you go to American Progress, they're like, here's what actually happens statistically when you do these things. Here's what happens economically when you do these things. And they lay out a path very strongly.
Can I have some technology corner music? Speaking of innovating and Hal Sparks' love of all things Apple and Steve Jobs, I think the universe is conspiring to prove that not only is Hal Sparks right about everything, but I possibly could be wrong for the first time in my life. I thought it was just me. There is a worldwide BlackBerry outage. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting anything on my BlackBerry. And I went to get an iPhone and then one computer guy and Verizon guy, they told me, it's a bad phone.
iPhone's
and it's not
stupid.
As good for email. Just keep your BlackBerry. So I did. And now, God took away my BlackBerry messages.
I don't know what they're talking about. It, not only is the mail app on the iPhone great,
but
there are other mail apps you can get, too, if hate it. And you won't. So that's the ridiculous
part.
They
said BlackBerry's better for email. It's a better phone. So they said, and now I got nothing.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Not on any front. Right, I, they've got a, right. They got boxes of them in the back they're trying to push is the problem. They've got a bunch of people like, I want the iPhone. It does all these neat things. What are we going to do with these piles of BlackBerries? You told me
exactly
this.
BlackBerries should be in pies.
Right.
The only, the only.
All right. And this concludes Technology Corner.
No, it doesn't. It just puts it on pause.
We will pause briefly.
I am a human Technology
Corner.
When we come
back, he will explain the MiFi card to me. 45 minutes after the hour, right back.
Technology Corner?
On Hump Days with Hal.
This is Too Weird, Man.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Been a real bad girl. We can make it better. And tell me, boy, now wouldn't that be sweet?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hump Days with Hal Sparks, or as I call it, Technology Corner. Okay,
hi.
So, first of all, I think we should say that I am a person who just yesterday had to have the cable guy come to my house because I was sure that my cable box had gone. And turns out I just hit the wrong button on the remote and
that I believe.
Canceled the audio function. Thank you.
And
scene.
And this and just last Sunday I did dogfighting in a fighter jet. Like I literally flew against another plane and I had three dogfights
so
and I won all three of them.
Did you have to have
Sky Combat Ace in
Vegas? Did you have to have
Vegas?
A sweaty volleyball game after that?
Awesome. Yeah, totally. Yeah, shirtless. I did have a clash in the locker room with this blonde dude that kept giving me, you know, flack. But then at the end...
Did you... Kelly Willis? No?
We had mutual respect.
McGillis? What's her name?
Yeah, Kelly McGillis.
Yes.
I try not to hit on any women who could scissor lock me. That's a rule. But, yeah, I mean, seriously. But it was amazing. It was like... It's this thing in Vegas where you can... You know, you pay, and they have a pilot behind you in the plane, and you can.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, you take over the controls. You're flying the plane, and I pulled 8 G's. I did a barrel roll and a hammerhead, which is when you fly straight
hammerhead
up until it stalls,
right. Uh-huh.
And you fall sideways. Wow. And we spun out of control, literally turned off the engines and spun.
You're such a dude.
It was so awesome.
I did that. My brother-in-law has an aerobatic plane, so
yeah,
you fly all over.
When did this turn into boy talk? All right, back to
when your BlackBerry. Crapped out.
All right.
That's when.
I have no BlackBerry messages. No.
When your garbage New York CNN Fox machine.
Oh, I have a technology question for you.
Uh-huh.
So is there a MiFi in your iPhone?
What?
You know, like
a personal hotspot.
Yes, you can
so
turn
that
your...
I can use it with my laptop and my iPad
yes.
too?
Yes. Yes, you can turn on internet sharing.
So I don't need to get an extra MiFi card?
No.
Okay, thanks. All right. I just, you know, I'm
I told you all this.
Yeah.
I don't believe
Chris,
you.
Yeah, Chris knows what he's talking about. You got to, I don't know. Chris, I believe you.
Thank you.
That's all that matters.
Whatever. Okay, so who watched the debate last night? Oh, the only thing mm-hmm. Hal and I noticed is Michelle Bachmann, much more serious hair.
Yeah, she had
I think Marcus went, ow.
Well, now that she's in the finals of the pageant, they've really given her, they're going for what the judges are looking for.
Yes,
and, yeah.
Serious hair.
She started this whole process kind of like one of those six-year-olds that they give, you know, they put the little fake teeth liner in, the doll makeup on, the
yes.
big hair, and she just comes out and sings, you know, I'm a little teapot or whatever.
Marcus is probably like, oh,
it's amazing.
I hate this hair, but it's too severe.
It's
but
a
I
disaster!
Think, but there's something. Your poll numbers are plummeting, so we have to do something. Oh, those shoes are awful.
I'm super! Thanks for asking.
Okay, I'm sorry. I confess. My girlfriend and I were watching the debate, and we both just, because he was right behind her afterwards,
oh.
we're like, he's just okay.
It's amazing.
He was just all like, no, oh. how do you respond right? Ah! He was...
That bone just is not your color.
I keep telling you,
to get the
you're
color
a winter.
Bone.
You're going to lose. You're a winter. That backdrop is fall. You should have turned down this debate.
Oh, the bastard people. They did that deliberately.
And I'll tell you why I can't put up with you people. Because you're bastard people.
All right. And they're saying Mitt Romney won the man fight with Rick Perry. Rick Perry,
Mick, I actually think the Rick Perry deflation is jockeying for the Donald Trump deflation as the best one of the
best implosion.
Think I'm gonna go with Rick Perry though because people mm-hmm. actually thought he had a shot.
Yeah.
It was amazing how people got behind him really quickly because mm-hmm. I think America's ready for another Texas governor with a crap record executes a lot of innocent people and mentally challenged people and calls themselves a pro-life Christian and has a crap economic policy, a million kids uninsured, unemployment rate, the highest number of minimum wage jobs in the entire country.
Here's what I wish. I wish Herman Cain would mention that damn 999 plan more because I haven't heard him mention it. Have you?
999!
All right, Ray. All right, Rain Man, I get it.
Night fever! I can walk! I can walk!
Rain Man, I get it. I get it. It's simple and it's awful.
Rain fever!
Okay. All right.
I can walk!
I say 9 to the 999. That's what I say.
And by the way, Michelle Bachman stole my joke.
What'd she say?
The 666 jokes. Yeah. Because I've been saying for a while or whatever, the 999 plan looks very familiar if you stand on your head, mm-hmm. which I think is a more artistic way
you
of saying it.
You know how that happened.
She just went 999, more like 666.
You know how that happened. Because Marcus Bachman probably follows you relentlessly ever
on
since
Twitter.
Queer as Folk. Ever since Queer as Folk.
You know what?
Right. Michael from Queer as Folk has a joke you should use in the debate. Oh, my God, I love
it
so much.
It's been winning the nomination for sure.
If you do ex-gay therapy on a straight guy who played gay, is that like a double negative? Do you turn him gay or you gay?
You would vaporize.
I know.
You just both vaporize into blackness. Yeah.
It's like matter hitting antimatter.
Marcus Bachman, it's like the Superman thing where he goes into the chamber and the red light was out here and they lost their powers while you were inside. I figured it out!
And Spock has a beard.
Was I the only one that burst out laughing every time Michelle Bachman said, my husband and I have a business? And I'm like, what? The D-gay business? My husband and I are business owners. Okay.
Yeah.
Mittens.
You want to have someone who's smart, who has experience, who knows how the financial services sector works, who knows how to protect American jobs, and I do. I've done it.
Protect them overseas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't
be much safer overseas.
Well,
there's things like 9/11 happening over here. Stuff they don't even talk about. What if all these Americans are going to their jobs in the United States and we're being attacked by terrorists? That's not safe. So better to move those jobs overseas so Americans aren't in danger.
Am I the only one that continually yells bull? At the screen during Republican debates?
No.
I just call bull on all of that. Seriously. Rick Perry.
Mitt's had 6 years to be working on a plan. I've been in this for about 8 weeks.
Yeah. So, I'm still whittling. I'm still whittling one away. I'm whittling on my back porch coming up with a plan.
So I got an excuse for not having a plan.
Yeah. It's not
the dog ate my homework.
Yeah, for the record, it's not like we've had these economic problems.
I got hit
long.
By an antelope while I was on my back.
Yeah.
Did you see that yesterday? I got hit by an antelope. He's okay. He's
on my way into the debate. I was hit by an antelope while I was biking
on
an oil
so
rig.
Okay.
Did you hear that in the debate? He was like, "I was on an oil rig this morning."
Oh, please, you were not.
You were not.
I call bull.
By the way, talking to an out-of-work oil rig operator. Like, what's he doing on the oil rig then? Yeah. What are they letting hang out, dude? I rode a boat out here.
I was on rig.
He's one of those disgruntled ex-employees.
Right, yeah. I'm going to get you guys. You're just in a boat with a shotgun.
All right.
And I'm going to go postal if my arms wouldn't keep getting tired.
Herman Cain.
They want to pass what they think they can get passed rather than what we need, which is a bold solution.
Which is 999.
Which is 999.
Which is never... ever going to pass.
Yeah.
You get 9 kinds of
garbage.
Nine kinds of processed cheese.
Nine kinds dumb
of
ideas.
I'm going to screw you 9 ways to Sunday. That's what that is.
9 dumb ideas attached to 9 failed policies.
9 dicks of brown things that may or may not be sausage. Right.
Blind spot.
Minutes after the hour. Right back on the Steph. I think it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah.
Not for long.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa. I'm
walking on sunshine. Whoa. And I feel good. Hey. All right. And I feel good. Woohoo! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. It is Hump Days with Hal Sparks, Sexy Liberal himself. And we've got to, you've got to go to SexyLiberal.com. It's tickets going back. We're even going to mess with Texas, Rick Perry. That's right.
Lone Star State Liberals? No need to feel lonesome anymore. Because these seductive progressives are about to make the Dixie Chicks proud of Texas once again. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is thrilled to announce that they're coming to the most controversial town on their world tour, Austin, Texas.
If this is Austin, I still love you.
An army of the worst dregs ever to soil the face of the West.
Austin, Texas. On November 12th at the Long Center, John Feeblesang, Hal Sparks, and Stephanie Miller are coming to clear Bush, and spread some liberal love. Tickets are available online at thelongcenter.org or by calling 512-474-5664. It's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Austin, prepare your city to be taken to its limits of laughter.
All right, and then check out all the upcoming dates. We got L.A., San Francisco, Buffalo, on and on. Oh, look, we don't have to make fun of Herman Cain's 999 plan anymore. All the Republicans did it for us last
night.
When
you take the 999 plan and you turn it upside down, I think the devil's in the details.
And I don't need 999. I thought it was the price of a pizza when I first heard it.
Oh, God, Mitt.
Get it?
Mitt always. Yeah. Oh, my God.
You're
Mitt.
A panic.
Oh, my God.
It's just a laugh riot. He's the life of the party.
These are the jokes that C-3PO would make. It's so funny that the same people that would, that literally their main reason for voting against, for George Bush and against Al Gore was the whole, you could have a beer with him. How many Republicans are going to run on the, you know, the thing I like about Mitt Romney, you could have a beer with him. Of course, you couldn't afford the beer he drinks.
No.
Cause
some sort of special Belgian kind of.
Right, exactly. It only comes, it has to be, it's like civet beer. It has to be passed through the colon of a weasel and they only make 500 milliliters of it
Jim,
a year.
Here's a Mitt Romney joke. This is the LA Times calls it his 1950s era humor. At a New Hampshire diner this summer, he suggested that the Eggs Benedict should be served on hubcaps because there's no plates like chrome for the holidays.
There's no plates like chrome for the holidays. See, it's a
oh,
pun.
Is that? Oh, I get it. Now I get it. See, I didn't get that
you
before.
You didn't get that before?
Wow.
You didn't get it?
I didn't.
Oh,
I didn't,
my God.
No, I didn't get any of it, really.
How could you not get it? It was in Highlights for Children.
Yeah, I don't get his humor ever.
Most of Rick Perry's jokes actually come from Highlights for Children. So if you've ever spent any time,
no, that was Mitt Romney's.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Sorry, Mitt Romney's jokes. Yeah. Yeah, right.
Well, he does the thing like, oh, remember when he pretended that the woman was goosing him from behind? He does the physical comedy. Blah. He's very hilarious.
He's running on the wackadoodle.
Yeah.
Mitt Romney. You may not want to have a beer with him, but boy, when you need a rib tickler when you're trying to make s'mores, he's your man.
The kind of guy that thinks a group of black people will think who let the dogs out is funny.
Oh, right. And he does the fake raise the roof, and you're like, you're not being ironic. You realize that.
I'm all sweaty up in this who. I'm not really sure what that means.
Right. And I need to find out the hard way.
He's just so awkward. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Here we go. Gretchen Carlson and Steve Doocy. Wow, they are just terrified of Occupy Wall Street, aren't they?
You know how this Occupy Wall Street stuff has continued now into its fourth week? Well, now some conservatives are launching a counterattack to that.
This is the brainchild of Eric Erickson, who runs the redstate.com website. And the message is the protesters have failed to take personal responsibility for blaming their economic problems on others. They say, quote, suck it up, you whiners. I am the 53% subsidizing you so you can hang out on Wall Street and complain.
So hilarious. That's so funny. That's because, you know what, this is really overblown. You know what, maybe Gretchen Carlson and Steve Doocy and Brian Dealweed, what?
Doocy.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Are right. Maybe
I think it's Doofus, actually.
Yeah, Doofus, you're right. Beg your pardon. In the original German. maybe they are right. Maybe There hasn't been a constriction of the middle class. Maybe there isn't the biggest disparity in income in the history of the United States now.
By the way, the Tea Party
maybe the facts don't exist. Maybe it's not that they're wrong.
Fine.
It's that they just have... like,
facts of a liberal bias.
They don't have
Tea Party adherents,
real.
By the way, say that they're trying to contrast themselves from Occupy Wall Street. Mark Meckler, the Tea Party founder, guy, whoever, he said Tea Party adherents don't believe corporations are inherently evil. Yes, neither do the Occupy Wall Street.
No.
They keep trying to misconstrue what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't believe that corporations are inherently evil, nor should bankers be beheaded. I don't think anyone is fault for beheading of bankers at Occupy Wall Street. They do believe this country should be divided by class, but united in return to the principles that undergird our nation's success. In fact, they want more of what made America great, more constitutional
slavery.
Restraint on government,
right. So
that people have more freedom to achieve the good things this country offers. By contrast, those occupying Wall Street and other cities, when they are intelligible, want less of what made America great and more of what is damaging to America. Bigger, more powerful government to come in and take care of them so they don't have to work like the rest of us who pay our bills.
Right. Screw the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Let's go back to the Mayflower Compact.
Yeah.
How about let's just use Exodus level biblical law and call it a day.
Sure. And you have to use flintlocks if you're gonna.
Yeah. Exactly. It's sort of the Amish approach. The Amish technological approach to constitutionalism. Just kind of like
leave it to Sean Hannity to crystallize what it's all about. You're right. It's about poo. It's about people being able to poo on the street.
I talked to our producers who have been down there. Garbage is everywhere. New York Post describes a scene where drugs are being sold, people urinating and defecating in public. By the way, there's a picture in the Daily Mail of one guy going to the bathroom, number two, on a police car. You can't make this stuff up. They're passing out free condoms. There's been open sex going on there. What? Drugs easy to score.
Really?
Wow.
And the president and Nancy Pelosi put their seal of approval on this.
Especially, and the president pointed out, especially the defecation and the sex in the street.
If you're getting it from the New York Post, it was made up.
Yeah. And secondly...
You can't make this up. Yes, you can. You're on Fox News.
Yeah.
That's what you guys do.
Everything he brought up is a normal daily occurrence in New York City.
It's true.
Yeah.
Every part of it happens at some place in the city. Maybe it's all in one area now because there's so much attention on it.
Yeah.
Because
you couldn't get in drugs in New York before
now. David Cross had
before Occupy Wall Street, you couldn't get them.
About crossing the street in New York and there being a used condom in the middle of the street. Like somebody couldn't wait till they got across the street, much less home, to have sex.
I lived there last year for 8 years. I used to play hopscotch around used condoms on my way into work.
Punched in the jaw in New York.
Right.
Yes. Just a couple of days ago.
Nice face.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's, again, and by the way, who craps on a police? What is he, Clyde from Every Which Way But Loose? Clyde, you got damn little respect for the law.
Respect for the law. Clyde.
By the way, whoever that was, that takes some flexibility to get in. I mean, that's not easy. You got to jump up there? Did he climb?
Is he wearing a kilt?
I know. That's an action item.
When you're...
That's my argument. More cops on the beat.
Mm. All right, Stuart Varney and Bill Helmer on Fox News.
Demonstrators look like the shock troops for President Obama's tax the rich policy. They're going straight to the homes of privately wealthy people in New York City, and they're going to march to those homes today, Bill.
J.P. Morgan employs 250,000 people around the world.
Yes.
News Corp employs 51,000 people around the world. Are they going to thank them for those jobs?
What do you think, Bill?
Why would I thank you for your 51,000 jobs that seem to be daily at purpose to eliminating jobs for millions of people? I mean, that is so patently absurd. It's like the idea, like, hey, cops have guns and murders have guns. Are you going to take away guns from people? Like, no, just from the murderers. Like,
They just die.
There's no balance in that. I mean, that's an absurd argument.
They make the job creators. They're these magical, precious little. Don't disturb them in any way.
Well, again, porn's a billion-dollar industry. Where's the big applause? I mean, I know Gingrich famously sent the Lodge in Dallas an award, but he took it back. Where's his support for entrepreneurial business? The Lodge, there's a lot of, single moms going to college because of that place.
Why did I know that Glenn Beck would be the only person defending Hank Williams, Jr.?
America, do not be discouraged. Do not. You take hope in a page out of the book of Hank Williams. That guy, then he was kicked in the head. And you know and I know it was for the wrong reasons.
He was insulted, I think, by his own people.
He's moving on.
And I make more Hitler analogies before 6 a.m. than he makes all day. Yeah. And look, I still have the internet thing.
This is their idea of being kicked in the head. Meanwhile, you have protesters at Occupy Wall Street
actually being kicked
in the head. And then his idea of being kicked in the head is being called a jerk
for being a jerk.
Yeah. It's like Bill O'Reilly going, this is a violation of my rights. You have a TV show where you can say your crap every day. You just don't get to not be criticized.
Or Dr. Laura.
There you go. Right. Yeah, because she quit her own multimillion-dollar-a-year job. Somebody took her First Amendment rights away. Okay. Yeah. Juan Williams on the Brit Bear.
Anytime a black conservative emerges with this kind of level of success that we have seen Herman Cain demonstrate, he's immediately attacked by the far left, and especially the black liberal establishment. They are threatened by Herman Cain. Remember, the Tea Party that the far left has tried to label as racist is a great supporter of Herman Cain. So for them, it totally discombobulates them. I mean, they're threatened because I think Herman Cain could have tremendous success with the black vote if it was Herman Cain running as a gospel singer, a guy who grew up in the South, a businessman with real experience. You know what? A lot of black people would take a second look. Remember, blacks are church-going social conservatives.
Yeah, that's true. Sure. If he runs as a singer, then I think it's all over.
Who's going to be his vice president? John Ashcroft?
Let the eagle soar.
All of my triumphs.
Yeah, no,
let him soar like you've never.
They can do a duet.
More of an alto, really.
Right.
Okay. All right. That concludes
from our Rocky Coast to Golden Shore.
I must tell Jesus.
18 minutes after
the
hour.
I must sell pizzas.
With more cheeses.
I must it's my Jesus. Sister Mary Oliphant.
I must sell cheese.
When he sneezes to cover his mouth.
All right, kids, you know, we rehearse this show every day right on GoToMeeting. That's how we came up with all that.
Really?
I said if you guys could interrupt me as much as possible all morning long.
I thought it was wit and spontaneous.
Yes. 19 minutes after the hour, back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A whole new level of disturbing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. I'm still the one who can scratch my itch. You're still the one that makes me laugh. We're still having fun, and you're still the one.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. Representative John Yarmuth from the great state of Kentucky coming up next hour. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Steph, you are still the one who can scratch my itch.
Thank you.
That is so 70s.
Thanks.
Like, that is so... big gnarly beard I have.
Perhaps you need some cream if you have an itch that won't go away. Stacy in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Stacy.
Hey, listen. I know a lot of people have read Uncle Tom's Cabin. The reason the Tea Party loves Herman Cain is because in that book, if you notice, Uncle Tom wasn't the one who was telling on all the slaves. It was Sambo. Tea Partiers love their Sambos. Herman Cain is a Sambo. He likes talking about black people, making black people sound like ignorant.
He plays the race card more than anybody I've seen in recent...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He is absolutely repugnant as far as I'm concerned in the black community. I can't believe he says the things that he says. I often have to ask myself how far up his you-know-what his head is exactly.
Well, it's interesting.
And I'm out.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring it up because there would be no space for another black Republican in that field who doesn't talk like that. I mean, you have to talk so crazy to be on the deal. Regardless, that's the one post-racial thing about that panel, is that their crappy ideas are permeate.
They
have no color. Nuts.
They're just the color of bad.
What color, your gender, and in the case of Rick Perry, your sexual preference, nothing matters up there.
No, I actually...
Wow.
But they're... Hal Louise.
Where did you get that?
That's what I think I would find hilarious.
If candidates
keep imploding at this rate, just saying they're going to be left with Herman Cain, and then they're going to lose their...
Oh, yeah.
They'd be like, what? Oh, no, that was just a...
He was just window dressing. He wasn't supposed to. Ow!
Yeah.
Carlos Alzraki said the other day he's Eddie Murphy in Trading Places.
No, he's Jackson in the old Eddie Murphy bit. You're like, white people get drunk and go, let's vote for Jesse Jackson. And then the next morning, but he won?
What?
What the?
JD in Reno, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, JD.
Steph, Mooks, that picture of that guy defecating on a cop car is from 2005. A riot in Toronto.
Uh-huh.
Wow! Sean Hannity said you can't make this stuff up, so you mean he made it up?
Oh. He made it up. God, go figure. And also, Herman Cain is Ross Perot. I'm telling you right now. Huh? He just changed face.
Yeah. Mm. All right.
Well, it's certainly, you know, like I said, similar, policies or whatever, they all have to kind of run on that, but... he doesn't actually divide the vote. The divided vote comes from the Perry Bachman wing and the Huntsman Mitt Romney wing, because they basically that's going to be the divide that separates them. It's not going to be on political ideology. It's going to be on religious ideology.
By the way, Jim, Sean Hannity needs to fire somebody in his whole videotape department, doesn't he? Aren't they?
You're fired.
Hasn't that happened several times where he's used the wrong pictures of the wrong crowds?
It was pretty evident from the picture in Toronto because of the side of the cop car it said police, eh? So, obviously not New York.
He would have noticed. What was the one? Oh, there were palm trees in Wisconsin.
Yeah, right.
Remember that footage he used to show how small the protest was, except that it wasn't the protest in Madison, you see.
Someone in the audio and video department is...
weird.
Like showing a clip from Braveheart.
He's so tolerant.
Like, look what the 99%ers are doing now.
Look at those sweaty, hairy, smelly people in kilts.
Yeah. bashing each other with war hammers.
Take their lives, they'll never take their freedom.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
We'll take your testicles and your small intestine.
Boy, he is more tolerant of slacky underlings than I am. Jim in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Jim.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Hello.
Well, here's what happened. These clowns, paid-off criminals, shall I call them, all had a agenda before the last election. They thought they were going to come in, sneak up on the American people, basically cater to the wealthy only, take away our freedom, take away our rights, take away our whole system and kick us all to the curb. Wasn't it funny how the American people, once again, as in past, stood up, came out of the woodwork and said, no, you're not.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do now. They're caught off guard. They're scared. And now they're trying to make us all look like criminals because maybe we might stand up and revolt someday and knock them on the curb ourselves. And the point is, this is our country, Stephanie, long before any of these idiots came into office.
Yeah.
And they think they're going to come in and just ruin the economy, take all the money, and the rest of us mean nothing. And to me, that's absolutely their whole
game plan, Jim, that's why they're so afraid. I'm looking at a poll right in front of me. Two-thirds of Americans, including 53% of Republicans, want wealthier people to pay more in taxes to help pay down the deficit. This, according to a new Washington Post poll, even larger numbers think Medicare and Social Security benefits should be left alone. That's more than 20 recent polls show Americans favor raising taxes on the wealthy. That's the problem. They cannot. They keep every poll that comes out there. Oh well, they didn't ask the question.
They're not asking real Americans.
Yeah,
29. Like the nine of us up here.
Yeah,
29 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Keeping accurate track of your alcohol intake. Smart idea, considering how trampy you get when you've had a few.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. The best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Tina in Virginia. You're on with Hal Sparks. Hi, Tina.
Hello. I just wanted to say two quick points.
Okay.
One, I support Herman Cain because he shows that in this country we are really moving the ball on racism, because he's free as a black man to be a complete idiot.
Yes.
And that's how you know we're moving towards post-racism in this country.
Sure. Yeah. It's the same steps that George Bush made for stupid people.
Yeah.
Like, wow, I'm stupid. I could be president.
Yeah. Bad ideas have no color, Tina. They're just bad.
And then,
All right.
Oh, she had a second point.
Oh, oops. I'm sorry. I apologize. The
premature ejection.
Democrats failed to muster the 60 votes needed to advance the president's jobs bill.
You don't need 60 votes. You just
at
need to force the filibuster.
Democrats voted with Republican senators. Essentially killing the bill. And now it will be broken into smaller, less efficient parts.
Great.
Okay. The president. Yes.
This is a moment of truth for the U.S. Senate. In front of them is a bill, a jobs bill, that independent economists have said would grow this economy and put people back to work.
Yeah, so.
We had Alan Grayson on yesterday. I don't know if you saw the beautiful ass-kicking he gave P.J. O'Rourke on Bill Maher Friday night, but right. That's what we need. We need more progressives like Alan Grayson back in the Congress. Because, as you've said, how it's these conservatives that killed the public option,
absolutely.
For instance, you know, watered down financial reform. I mean,
this is how this, by the way, this is what happens. The American Jobs Act is a good example of Obama presenting what would have been the health care bill with the public option in it. Because the Ben Nelsons of the world just went, not going to let it happen.
Mm-hmm. Jim, who said, it remains to be seen whether the Occupy Wall Street protests will change America's direction, yet the protests have already elicited a remarkably hysterical reaction from Wall Street, the super rich in general, and politicians and pundits who reliably serve the interests of the wealthiest hundredth of the percent. Who said that?
Glenn Beck.
No, it's a spectacularly bad guess, though. It was Paul Krugman in Panic of the Plutocrats.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite, however, is Senator Rand Paul, who for some reason worries the protesters will start seizing iPads because they believe rich people don't deserve to have them.
Sean Hannity.
No, Paul Krugman. Okay. Rand Paul has a turban on his head. The way to understand all this is to realize it's part of a broader syndrome in which wealthy Americans who benefit hugely from a system rigged in their favor react with hysteria to anyone who points out just how rigged the system is, who said that.
Steve Doofus.
No, Paul Krugman, Panic of the Plutocrats, another great piece. Yeah, he mentions, he says there's a campaign of character assassination against Elizabeth Warren. Yeah. Listening to the reliable defenders of the wealthy, you'd think Ms. Warren was the second coming of Leon Trotsky. The stuff she said in that clip made such perfect sense, and they reacted, you know. What's going on here? The answer, surely, is that Wall Street's masters of the universe realize deep down how morally indefensible their position is. They're people who got rich by peddling complex financial schemes that, far from delivering clear benefits to the American people, helped push us into a crisis whose after effects continue to blight the lives of tens of millions of their fellow citizens. So who's really being un-American here? Not the protesters who are simply trying to get their voices heard. No, the real extremists here are America's oligarchs who want to suppress any criticism of the source of their wealth. Yeah, exactly. And that's why they're freaking out. Because, you know, people are waking up. And I don't know what you think, Hal, but I think this could, you know, Paul Krugman says this could be something big that really affects the 2012 cycle.
People are being arrested for unlawful assembly.
What's more American than what's going on?
The liberty part.
That's the First Amendment of the Constitution.
Where is there?
It specifically mentions the right to assembly.
Their gut reflex is about a PR affront to their normal, like, cell line, so they've blown past the liberty argument. Like, I mean, even if you disagree with the protesters themselves on a political front, if you're supposedly a liberty candidate, you would go, they have the right to speak their mind no matter what.
It un-American. Herman Cain called it un-American. What is more American than what's going on?
You stitch together the words, the prefix un and the word American, and you don't care about the outcome of the sentence.
By
the
way,
what
they're doing has more to do with the original Tea Party than the stupid new Tea Party.
Absolutely.
All right.
By the way, Tom Hartman has an amazing clip on the explanation of it, and I think you can go to his site. But on what the Tea Party was actually about—that kind of forced imposition of a tax—it was anti-corporate.
Yeah.
At that point,
right?
So.
Tom Hartman and I just sent each other love notes yesterday.
Aww.
We still do that.
His was really long, wasn't it? Did it come in 18 volumes?
Yes.
Yeah, and it was handwritten.
Yes. And bound.
Yeah.
All right, the president yesterday.
Let Congress know who they work for. Remind them what's at stake when they cast their vote. Tell them that the time for gridlock and games is over.
Yeah, well, apparently not. Senator Durbin yesterday. Senator Dick.
And if the voters think that this is unfair for the minority party to say we're just not going to support this president no matter what he comes up with, if they believe that's unfair, then they'll make their feelings known to those members of Congress.
What?
We were saying yesterday many of them are their ideas.
Yeah.
And then you present them.
Well, the other thing
them.
Is members of the minority party, what are you talking about? Ben Nelson and Senator Tester, they didn't support. I mean, ultimately, I know we shouldn't have to have this 60-vote majority, and if we do, we have to. Then we need to shoot for 65 senators because there's no. I mean, you can't. There's got to be enough wiggle room to get past these idiots. If there's seven blue dogs that are going to run interference, we need 67 senators then at that point. And we need to start replacing those guys in those markets for real.
Yeah. Senator Mitch McLipless yesterday.
So the legislation we'll be voting on today is many things, but it's not a jobs bill. And Republicans will gladly vote against any legislation that makes it harder to create jobs right now.
You guys cannot help yourselves. You have to do the impression when you hear the sound clip, don't you? Cannot help yourself.
It's a trap!
It's a trap!
I'm Admiral Akbar.
That's turtle trap.
Yeah.
Senator Bob Corker, Republican of Tennessee.
There's all kinds of regulatory issues and American energy issues and other kinds of things that, to me, we could take up in a true jobs bill, and it's my hope that we'll do that soon.
I see. So it's not a jobs bill because you say it's not.
Yeah.
Even though economists say it would create 1.9 million jobs.
We're already drilling more for oil in this country than ever before. And it's never enough for this.
And they're against nationalizing the oil. If you're against nationalizing the oil because it's under our soil collectively, it's under multiple states, sometimes you're drinking somebody else's milkshake. If that's what you really believe, that it's our oil, then nationalize it. But if you're not going to nationalize it, stop calling it our oil, because these multinational corporations suck it out of the ground from under your state and sell it on the open market.
Right. Your milkshake might bring all the boys to the yard. And it is.
It's good. And after a while, it's not going to be your yard anymore.
It's not better than yours.
They've come to take your yard. Your yard is going to collapse because there's nothing
holding. You're going to take our yards, but not our freedom.
Your yard is going to be fracked out of existence. That's what's going to happen.
But in all honesty, like, it gets sold on the open market at market price that is subject to speculative raising. Yep. So there's no part of it where it's suddenly some American oil comes out of the ground, red, white, and blue. Shut up! It makes me nuts.
Can we do that? Can we make red, white, and blue oil?
They don't even... These guys don't even want to nationalize our water. T. Boone Pickens is sucking the water out from under Texas right now. Wow. And it's not like Texans get a piece of their own water.
That's the giant sucking sound we hear.
Yeah. It's the straw.
Talk about giant sucking sound.
Brian and Charlotte, you're on the...
Jobs, oil, water, it's all going south.
Brian and Charlotte, North Carolina.
Frank Williams clip, the Glenn Beck clip that you guys played earlier where he was just going on a rant at the quote-unquote media about how...
Hank Williams getting kicked in the head? Right.
Yeah. Well, I was in my break room when they were playing the clip of Frank Williams on Fox News.
Hank Williams Jr.
I'm sorry, Hank Williams.
It's okay. It doesn't really matter.
I work with a bunch of right-wingers, and we were all sitting in there eating lunch, and as they were playing the clip, they were all hooting and hollering, basically saying, hey, he was a big man by standing up and saying all this stuff. You know, basically, he was saying the stuff that they wanted to hear. And then I made the point. I said, look at the guys on Fox. They're egging him on. They're asking him to say all this stuff, and they know what he's talking about. Fox is really stepping on him right now, and I made the point to them that this doesn't look good because Fox is basically showing him up right now. And the next day, and when he created that song, you didn't play the whole Hank Williams song.
Right.
But in that song,
I couldn't take anymore.
Took a shot at Fox.
Oh, yeah, no, we played some of it yesterday, but if I played the whole thing, that would constitute a war crime, technically.
I understand. When I came in the next day, they were all upset at Fox. So if you listen to that, go back to that clip again, he was taking a shot at Fox.
I see.
He's moved on.
Because he got fired, too. All right.
You're absolutely right. That's the funny thing about it is that they're eating their own because of this divide about who the guy's going to be, and it's going to be Mitt Romney, and they're all going to pack up and go home.
By the way, that's
a third party Rick Perry,
Rick, what do you call it? Christie yesterday, Chris Christie throwing his weight behind. I'm sorry. Behind Mitt Romney. I'm just saying, the GOP establishment, Karl Rove, et cetera, they don't want Perry. I mean, it's clear at this point. You're right. They're lining up. Let's go to...
Because they know he'll lose because he looks like a bad impersonation of George Bush.
Yeah. Which... Bill and Duke, digest that for a minute.
I'm Josh Brolin. Yeah,
Bill in Washington, hello. Yes, Bill.
Hi, Stephanie. First, as I always do whenever I call, and I call rarely, I want to thank you and give you your props for being so loyal to President Obama. You've been steadfast in your support.
Thank you.
And it's wonderful to see. That's not true.
Hal and I always say you could, you know, call us an Obama apologist all you want. We don't think we have anything to apologize for.
Baby, so. I'm pro-Obama.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And then secondly, I wanted to say that Hal, I believe it was Hal Sparks, who just said something that is extraordinarily important, that has been important from the beginning of the Obama administration, but that has not been focused upon by many people on the left. And that is that we should have, if we're having difficulty because of the blue dogs getting legislation passed, we should have more Democratic senators.
Right.
Stop
yep.
focusing on what the Democrats can't do because of their inability to get to 60 votes and avoid a filibuster.
Yes, let's get back to
focus
yes, we can.
More Democratic
yeah.
senators.
Yeah, yep. yes, we can. If we mobilize our base, you know, absolutely. You can. I'm tired of like political wisdom because it was wrong at every turn during the primaries the last time, during the general election. So it's like, oh no, Democrats have to be this way there, and oh, they can't. We can't do that. It's like, yes, we can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got. We have to push. The other thing, too, is, like, you know, I've been joking lately about I have this really liberal, super liberal friend who loves America so much he votes almost every other election. And it's kind of true,
funny and
sadly.
Sad.
Yeah, sadly true. And the thing is, and sometimes they'll go, well, I haven't gotten to exactly what I want from Obama in the exact. Even the timing.
Yeah.
I mean, like, gay voters stayed home. Statistically, there was a lowering of that vote because he didn't act fast enough on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Never mind the fact
he didn't
that
act
he actually
fast enough
got
getting
it done.
More done in 2 years than we've gotten done in the last 40
years. In the last 40,
rights.
Right. Yeah. It's amazing.
All right.
And it's got to be a shift. And we've got to start ponying up. We've got to start standing long game. We're in this for the long haul.
This sounded too much like sports analogies to me, but I'm in. 2012, I'm in. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Friggin' A, it is the Stephanie Miller Show.
You can almost smell the irony.
52 minutes after the hour. Whoever's enjoyed my burps on the Hal Street.
Yeah.
She's a lady.
Knows I'm a lady.
She can burp an L-A-D-Y. She's a lady. L-A-D-Y.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Tommy in California on the jobs bill. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Steph. You know, hey, Mooks. Hi, Al.
Hiya.
I kind of lay this blame for this not passing at the feet of Harry Reid for not having the leadership to get his people in line. He can take away chairmanships. He can tell them, you aren't going to get another dime from the DNC, and we will support any candidate that we will find, and we will support a candidate to run against you, and we will fully fund them, and we will, you know, there's a lot of things that he can do.
I agree.
But for a filibuster, he needs to tell Mitch McConnell, bring in the cots, biatch, you know?
Bring in
the cots, and you better order a pizza because you're going to be here for a while because the American people need this.
Yeah, that's right, Tommy. And that's what Hal and I get continually frustrated about is that, you know, you are getting foiled more by these conservatives than you are. I mean, the Republicans, you can expect a solid wall of obstructionism.
The reason there's no filibuster, and I've stated this before, but, you know, I think it bears repeating, is because any senator can offer endless amendments. And what they do is, instead of genuinely filibustering something, they just start offering endless amendments. And they just start stacking them up, which will take up all the debate time or eliminate the debate time entirely. And so they can say, on Section 5, Paragraph 3, I want the and changed to an or. I want we should capitalize America in Paragraph 3, where it is not capitalized as a type.
It's nonsense. It's just designed to stop
any bill can
anything.
Be killed that way. Any bill at all. And so when you know that, any idiot can hold the entire Senate hostage. And an override takes such a high vote because of the rules of the Senate that essentially you don't have to filibuster anything anymore.
Cheyenne in Long Beach. Hey, Cheyenne.
Well, the problem is that nobody, like I saw an interview with Barbara Boxer. She never even talked about the two Democrats that voted with the Republicans. She just completely glossed over. So they even in their own party, they got denial in their own party. But the main thing about those Democrats, those were always pro-slavery Democrats since the 1800s, but nobody ever points that out. They're not voting against Barack just because of the policy.
There's still remnant Dixiecrat concepts in those states,
exactly,
absolutely.
Right.
If you're looking at a red state with a Democrat in it, you're really looking at sort of an old-fashioned Dixiecrat politician.
That's right.
A Republican, but who's called a Democrat in the old-fashioned way, absolutely.
Yeah, nobody
points that out
right.
to them. None of the pundits, or even on TV, I watch them, and it's like they just pass over.
Who was the Democrat that was just elected governor, but he ran in a southern state, but he ran against Obama and his policies, essentially,
absolutely,
to get elected as a Democrat in, you know.
Well, that's, and if anybody ever tells you, you know, their great-great-grandfather was a Democrat, they're really, now they're going to identify as a Republican or quote-unquote an independent, the half libertarian, you know, the kind that watch a lot of YouTube videos, sort of like Ron Paul, but think he's too socially open. That crowd and the Dixiecrat crowd are kind of
tolerance
fused.
Gives them the heebie-jeebies
right.
on the far right. Jordan in Albuquerque.
Stand tolerance.
I just really would like to encourage people, as a Democratic talking point, to really start coming back to the yes, we can, because the Republican Party has put the emphasis that no, we can't put people back to work. We're not going to give you health care.
Yes, let's reclaim yes, we can.
People. So we should say, as Democrats, yes, we can.
Absolutely.
I mean, Michelle Bachmann crystallizes that everything she talks about in these debates is things
we
she
can't
stopped.
Do this.
Things she's against, things she stopped.
That's because you have to present an actual bill that has to be articulated and stand up to some sort of scrutiny to do something. When you do nothing, you can just stand there with your arms crossed and pretend you've accomplished something just by stopping what you consider is bad. But they don't. That's the issue. That's the entire Tea Party wing. They think any government is too big. So even a bill that would scale back government, which Obama has actually put forward, he's actually put forward some decent deregulation concepts that are sensible and there's nothing wrong with them. But they'll be against it because they think any bill furthers the government. Period. The actions of the government further the government, which is absurd.
Dean in Pittsburgh, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dean.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi. Hey, it's been a few months. I don't want to sound like Mr. Sunshine or, too much in that direction, but I do think people should know that I was watching the C-SPAN yesterday, the whole vote, and I was making phone calls to senators, not just here in Pennsylvania, to my two, but like six other Democrats and Lieberman's office. And what I was reading on the internet was that they were expecting five or six Democrats to vote no. Lieberman announced on the floor yesterday afternoon that he was going to vote no, and a couple hours later he voted yes. The office of Senator Joe Manchin, West Virginia, told me he was voting no. A couple hours later he votes yes. So I think a disaster was averted here, and I'm not saying I had anything to do with it, but it doesn't hurt to make phone calls. Obviously some other people did too. The White House probably pressured him, and it would have been really awful if you had less than 50 Democrats voting yes on this thing. Mm-hmm. As for the filibuster, right. I wasn't expecting to break the filibuster. In order to do that, they'd have to do what they did with Wall Street reform and force them to stay awake for three or four nights in a row. And, every reason is
take their vacation away.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
That's it. I mean, that's essentially what it is at this point. Because none of them want to be there doing their job.
58 minutes after the hour, right back. More Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The hour. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Video streaming on StephanieMiller.com and on HowSparks.com.
It's true.
It is Sexy Liberal Week. Aisha Tyler here yesterday. How Sparks here today. John Fugel sang in on Friday. It's Sexy Liberal time. Speaking of which, the big show coming up, a hometown show, Los Angeles, 21st and 22nd. A very teensy tiny few tickets for left for Friday. And then San Francisco and on. Check out our dates because they're selling out months and months in advance. Check it out. SexyLiberal.com. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Speaking of, I saw this story. Speaking of the new media, the social media, as they say, Hal, or as Jim calls it, the anti-social media. The Huntsman girl, John Huntsman's daughters, are tweeting Tag Romney, the unfortunately named. I'm just saying, playing tag must have been very, very.
Imagine how hard it was for his brother.
His brother had an even harder time. It's very, very frustrating game.
I'm a loser.
Tag.
I'm a poor loser. Dad, why'd you name me it?
You're very hairy.
Well, I'm a big fan of the Addams
Even worse than, Marco.
I could have called the punch.
Yeah, exactly. All right. They sent a friendly tweet to Mitt Romney's son, Tag. They're flirting with Tag. This reminds me of the back of the 1964. There was all the weather of the Miller girls were, the Goldwater boys. And they weren't. But they try the press. The press tries to make it all. Tag has yet to respond to their invitation. Wanted to sit with him at the next debate.
His whole name was Reichstag.
Really?
Reichstag. Yeah.
Really?
Named after the event, right?
Mm-hmm. By the way, just say 9 to 999. That's our slogan.
999!
Exactly. Bad. Hey, Rich in Philadelphia is upset about Fast and Furious and also the Black Panthers. Hello, Rich.
Hi, Steph. How
are
you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm not an intellectual. I'm a 72-year-old guy with a ninth-grade education. I probably lean a little bit to the right. I think the president should bump Eric Holder because this guy's in over his head. This thing with Fast and Furious, I mean, this is worse than the White House had with Nixon.
Mm. Oh, it is. It's worse than Watergate.
Somebody died. It's bad. And then I live in Philly. We have the poll place. We get the Black Panthers.
You got the Black Panthers menacing you, trying to keep you from voting.
With clubs. Nobody gets indicted or anything?
Yeah.
Clubs, they were
with clubs.
I mean,
I saw that footage on Fox over and over.
What the hell is going on here, What the heck? I think he should dump Holder.
Were you able to vote? Did you vote in the
last
election?
Well, mostly, because Holder hasn't.
I vote in every election.
Okay, so you were able to vote?
So wait a minute. The Black Panthers did not keep you from voting.
I didn't vote. That wasn't my polling place.
Did people end up voting at that polling place?
There was people voting there, but he was trying.
They're not very good at Black Panthering, then, are they?
You think maybe the Black Panthers thought that there might be in the election of the first black president that there might be some intimidation by white people against black voters, and that's why they showed up?
Suppose I was in front of a black voting place with my robes on, and
so you have robes. So you're saying you have robes.
I'd have been killed for doing that, I'm just saying you couldn't let something like that slide.
So you're saying there's an equivalent between the Black Panthers and the Ku Klux Klan, historically?
I say they're both the same.
They're both the same.
These guys broke with their boots are a bunch of doofuses, man.
All right. Oh. All right.
Well, doofus, sure. There's kind of a difference between a bunch of doofuses and people who have systemically established racist policy both in and outside government who were, I don't ever recall, and maybe somebody can correct me on this, the Black Panthers en masse lynching white people for decades in the South.
The Black Panthers also did a lot of
community organizing.
Right. Yes, right. Exactly. Yes.
You might think, I'm just going to go out on a limb.
Community organizing.
It's just a code word for getting the community together.
The three guys who are claiming to be Black Panthers, they were at but mostly black polling place.
Yeah, exactly. So making sure that nobody stopped black people from voting.
All right.
That's why they were there. And if you're intimidated by those people, that means that you as a white person were intending to stop black people from voting.
Yeah.
And then you should be intimidated.
Oh, honey, it's Blink from Mod Squad. Let's not vote. Let's go.
Yeah, right. Yipe. That guy's wearing khakis and green jackets.
Yikes.
He's got a beard and dreadlocks.
All right. Did I mention the big story? The big, big, big story is Chris Christie threw his weight behind
Oh, really? How many times are we going to go to that joke this show?
Yesterday. I'm here in New Hampshire today for one simple reason. America cannot survive another 4 years of Barack Obama, and Mitt Romney is the man we need to lead America.
America won't survive. Right, okay. That's the big headline America from Chris Christie. Yeah, because America can survive, I guess, the stock market going from 6,500 to 11,000 in 2 years.
No.
It can't survive the loss of $700,000 jobs a month.
By the way, Chris Christie tried to help Romney with his health care problem.
Do not try to equate what's happened in Obamacare with what Governor Romney did in Massachusetts. The President of the United States is raising taxes over and over again to pay for this plan. He still won't pay for it. What Governor Romney did was what he believed was responsible as governor of Massachusetts to allow people to have access to health care.
Huh.
Which included a mandate.
It's interesting. Yeah, and in fact, of course, the breaking story. Remember Romney said, why didn't the president call me if he wanted some of the... Well, as it turns out, he did, and he sent all his advisors to the White House, so they had a whole bunch of meetings to shape Obamacare.
I don't remember that. That must have been some other guy.
The records gleaned from White House visitor logs reviewed by NBC News show senior White House officials had a dozen meetings in 2009 with three healthcare advisors and experts who helped shape RomneyCare.
So why didn't he talk to me? Could have asked me a question. Yeah. Could have had lunch or something.
The White House wanted to learn a lot about what we'd done in Massachusetts, said an MIT economist who advised the Romney administration. They really wanted to know how we can take that same approach we used in Massachusetts and turn that into a national model. Romney is really the father of health care reform. If Mitt Romney had not stood up for reform in Massachusetts, I don't think it would have happened nationally.
No, it would have happened.
And then there's a helpful little graph here. Major provisions. Affordable Care Act individual mandate? Yes. Massachusetts health care law? Yes. Employer responsibility, yes, but not required to provide coverage. In Massachusetts, yes, required to provide coverage. So actually, it was more socialism, apparently, in Massachusetts. Standard benefit patches, yes, without abortion service. In Massachusetts, yes, with abortion service. Hush. Because you remember he was going to be more pro-choice than Ted Kennedy. And yes, it's RomneyCare. Where's that horror film clip we have? It's come back to haunt him.
I've got a whole bag of shh with your name on it. Shh. Quiet, don't say it. Don't talk about
it. www.shh.com. He made a good point in the debate last night when, Perry obviously tried to take him to task for health care. He said...
Million uninsured children
in Texas,
your state.
A million kids. Under President Bush, the percentage uninsured went down. Under your leadership, it's gone up. I mean...
Hey, that's capitalism.
Yeah,
I'm good at it. You suck at capitalism because you insure kids. Look, I'm Christian. We love fetuses, not walking human beings. All I want to do is grow up a bunch of poor people living on minimum wage, and when they act outside the law, electrocute them. That's all I want to do.
You're talking too fast.
Right.
Sorry,
that's a terrible...
I guess
Rick
the consensus is Romney won last night. The Daily Beast headline, Perry gets no traction. I missed this moment, but he got tangled in his syntax.
Rick Perry sounds like he's talking in slow motion.
He said Americans are so untrustworthy of what's going on.
What?
Freudian slip?
Yeah.
I think he actually believed that statement.
My Freudian slip was shown.
Oh, dear, Mittens, it's come back to haunt you again.
It all began on a lonely road in Massachusetts.
Oh, darn.
What is it, Mitt?
We've run out of gas.
Really?
Yes, come here.
Mitt, who let the dogs out?
Woof, woof.
Wait, let me change the station.
Radio stations are people, my friend.
Take a look at what Mitt did.
What's
from the
this?
Standpoint of RomneyCare.
No.
RomneyCare.
No.
RomneyCare.
Not again.
RomneyCare.
No.
RomneyCare.
No.
RomneyCare.
It was the thing RomneyCare. That wouldn't die.
RomneyCare.
Let's get out of here.
RomneyCare.
Run away.
RomneyCare.
Oh, Mitt.
Doc, we got here as fast as we could, my friend.
Ow.
Is her ankle broken?
No, it's just a couple of bruises. Good thing she's covered with RomneyCare.
No.
RomneyCare.
No.
RomneyCare.
No, not again.
The thing that wouldn't die.
Showing this week at the Republic Twin Drive-In. On screen two, it's Mrs. Buckfire.
Hello, my little barbarians. You need a little discipline.
Come to the Republic Twin Drive-In, where everyone is welcome, technically.
Thank you, Mike and Raleigh. All right. Mittens on the whole, the Mormon Michigas.
Governor Perry selected an individual to introduce him, who then used religion as a basis for which he said he would endorse Governor Perry and a reason to not support me. And Governor Perry then said that introduction just hit it out of the park. I just don't believe that that kind of divisiveness based upon religion has a place in this country.
And I can't afford it because I know that evangelicals aren't going to vote for me because that it's not that we're talking about it, it's that it exists.
You're not supposed to say it out loud.
If you don't say it out loud, it will vanish.
Planted that guy, the pastor, because the Republican establishment really does not want Rick Perry, right? Conservatives slammed Perry for failure to rebuke the pastor who called Mormonism a cult. Let's see here. Oh, John Huntsman said that they called the guy a moron. Let's see.
Huntsman's a Mormon. But here's
yes,
the thing.
But not just him. It. Joe Scarborough, you know, Karl Rove, obviously, came out. Bill Bennett and denounced them. By the way, Perry has yet to denounce any of this guy's other remarks, including his belief that Jews, Mormons, Muslims, and gays are going to hell, or that Islam promotes pedophilia. Fox and Friends had this guy on. What's his name? Pastor Jeffress? Mm-hmm. To fan the flames of President Obama's
Pastor
war
Mustard.
On Easter. Remember that? Remember when the president went to war against Easter?
Yeah, by having an Easter egg hunt in the White House lawn and going to yeah. services.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. He's like, no, he wages war. You know what? He's better at waging. He's terrible at waging war on Christmas and Easter because he celebrates both of them. He has lovely ceremonies and stuff. You know what? He needs to, if he really wants to have a war on Christmas or Easter, he should conduct it like he did the war on terror because he's doing a really good job with that one. I'm just saying,
right.
if he conducted the war on Christmas the way he conducts the war on terror, Santa would be dead
Boom.
By now.
Santa would be
Rudolph
goodbye.
Would be mounted
yeah.
in
Santa
the
would
Oval
be,
Office.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
And he'd be using the light as a nightlight. The nose
go.
As a nightlight.
All right.
American people are untrustworthy of Mama's war on Christmas.
Thank you, Rick. Okay. 17 minutes after the hour. What? Former ex-gay ministry leader comes out? No.
What?
You know I hate to mention these sort of things.
We'll He's super. Thanks for asking.
Yes, he is. He looks cute in that hat. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Total chaos. No rehearsal, no program, and don't even get me started on the monkeys.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
She's crafting. She gets a while. She's crafting. She's always down. She's crafting. She's got it fresh. She's crafting. And she's just my thing.
She's crafting. She's crafting.
What? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone
Which
number.
Hour?
Former ex-gay ministry leader comes out, recants previous teachings. Oh, he is super.
I'm super. Thanks for asking.
John Smid. He was, it's Love in Action?
Yes,
he's a barbarian and he's disciplining.
He resigned as the group's executive director in 2008. And
you make
been...
a good point, though. He didn't get caught with anybody, with a hooker, a rent boy, a masseuse.
It's really hard. Sure. Yeah, it's right. It's really difficult when these guys, if they get busted, and then they kind of come to their senses afterwards to give them any credit. Like, who's the spokesperson for the Bush administration who kind of came out, whatever?
Ken Mellman.
Yeah, Ken Mellman. Like, he was... like this guy, both of them were at the forefront of establishing policy against gay people, really actively, politically and socially trying to limit the lives of gay people. And this guy came to his senses on his own, it seems. There was no scandal. There was no specific thing.
He writes a new blog. He said he has shown how far he's come acknowledging his own homosexuality despite he's staying married to his wife. He loves his wife and also Larry Craig's wife.
I love my wife.
Yes.
And so can you for just $19.95. Wait, what? I'm running for office.
He did not say
no.
that. He said, no one changes. One cannot repent of something that is unchangeable. I also want to reiterate here that the transformation for the vast majority of homosexuals will not include a change of sexual orientation. Actually, I've never met a man who experienced a change from homosexual to heterosexual. Good for him. Good for him. I'm
because
just saying he's speaking the truth.
If you stop having sex, if you become a priest and you take a vow of chastity and you don't ever have sex anymore, that doesn't mean you stop being heterosexual. You stopped acting on it. And that's what a lot of these guys have done.
I'm successfully heterosexual.
Yeah, he also said, pay attention, Rick Santorum, my perspective denied so many facets of the homosexual experience. I minimized a person's life to just their sexuality, but homosexuality is much more than sex. Thank you. Gays can be Christian. What? No. I hear a
story. We just don't advise it.
He said many are able to then nurture an authentic relationship with Christ because they're being honest and authentic with themselves and finally are able to accept his love unconditionally, which changes the dynamic of their understanding of him. We just hung out with our good friend, the official country singer of the Stephanie Miller Show, Shelley Wright in Seattle.
Yep. She's
Christian.
She's a devout Christian. Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
It boggles my mind, but that's fine. I think he came
out and said, I am homosexual. I would consider myself homosexual and yet in a marriage with a woman. I tried my hardest to create heterosexuality in my life.
Oh, God. Wouldn't you love to watch that happen? Oh, this is going to be. Honey?
He makes it sound like a bowel movement. He's just constipated heterosexuality.
Your breasts are like bags of sand.
Is it supposed to be this hard?
Oh, okay.
But this also created a lot of shame, sense of failure, and discouragement. All right. Good for him. Oh, try. It's like you can make it in a workshop or something in a manly kind of
right.
like a wooden ship.
I read heterosexuality for dummies.
I'm in my bad workroom creating some heterosexuality.
Using tools to do things.
Pounding things with man tools and hammers and stuff.
Yeah, to make it even more heterosexual.
Square pegs into round
holes.
Honey,
time for dinner. I'm
in the shop building a heterosectionator.
Doing man stuff.
I'm building this new machine called the heterosectionator. In my... Oh, it won't work! Oh. It won't work! He's like the Doc Brown of heterosexuality. Just his mind-reading device.
Who's treasured the secretary?
I wasn't even close.
Jack Benny?
Jeffrey in Tacoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Stephanie. I'm just calling because as much as the Democrats not falling in line is a problem, I think the bigger problem is the fact that the Republicans all vote. I think the partisanship is the big problem, mm-hmm. is that Paul Ryan saying that, you know, we're here to change polls is the problem. Because last time I checked, nobody on Capitol Hill was voted in by 90% or 100% of their constituents. They represent everybody. And
it's razor thin, actually. A lot of the last election, especially 2010, those were razor thin. There was, you know, margins of 500 to 2,000 votes in a lot of places. And they're acting like they got a landslide
mandate. They were quick to get to the whole mandate. Quicker than that guy, the ex-chain ministry guy. Mandate. It's a different thing.
See what? He's not going to have a mandate. He's staying married to his wife.
Exactly.
Which is very weird. I got to say.
It's their choice.
Again, I don't know. You're staying with your wife, in sickness and health, and for rich or for poor. I don't know what you're considering this sick or health. I don't know if you know what I mean. In all honesty, like, what kind of relationship will they have in that situation?
Well, maybe she's that way too, and he's covering for her.
Well, that's entirely.
Yeah, look at you starting rumors about Mrs. Smith.
Yeah, I think it's odd. I think they both owe each other to do a reassess of who they actually want to be with as a complete relationship.
At least they're being honest.
At least they can't
love
and respect each other.
Marcus and Michelle talking to you. Oh, is it only me that just giggled uncontrollably every time she said, my husband and I have a business?
Yeah, your hair.
There's no business like show business, like no business I know.
Migraine trigger. 29 minutes after the hour, back with Representative John Yarmuth, Kentucky, next.
Stephanie Miller.
Come on, baby. Mama's got a sparkle. It's time to make life a cabaret.
Right, Marcus Bachman? 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. As we mentioned, the Senate failed to advance the president's jobs bill. Joe, how many times must I have Representative John Yarmuth tell you why this is important? Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Oh, I just... talk to us about what happens now. I mean, this is just so, predictable and depressing, isn't it?
Well, it is, although you hit the key word. It was predictable. You know, my Senator Mitch McConnell, when I say my, only because he's from the same state.
Yes, sadly.
Not because I embrace him, but McConnell has said it very clearly that the Republicans' number one priority is to make President Obama a one-term president. They don't want to give him a victory of any sort, and clearly they don't want to give him a victory on something that he has invested so much political capital and spent so much energy and time on recently. So we knew they were going to block it. Now what they're going to get, however, is they're going to get one after another of these highly popular provisions shoved down their throat. And they're either going to have to say, no, we don't want to spend on infrastructure. We don't want to spend on putting teachers back in the classroom. We don't want to give everybody a 3% reduction in their payroll tax, small businesses 3% reduction. We don't want to do all this, and we don't want to end our tax breaks for the wealthiest 1%. So
well, Congressman,
they're going to have to vote time after time after time on these things that the American people really want.
That's right. We just read, you know, I think it was the 20th poll in a row that said the, you know, a majority of Americans want, you know, the wealthy to pay their fair share. They don't want, you know, Social Security and Medicare touched. I mean, a lot of the themes that they're talking about with Occupy Wall Street, you know, is, do you think the president is going to win? I mean, this is what he said, is he's going to break this up, right? And go, you know, make them stand up on issue after issue then.
Exactly. And, you know, I think this is going to be, they could have taken one big hit, but now they're going to have to cast votes that will definitely come back and haunt them if they vote against the president's recommendation. Death by a thousand cuts. And, of course, I don't know that actual charges of hypocrisy carry much weight anymore in this political era, but they're going to be forced to vote against things if they want to block the president, vote against things that they have voted for already.
So,
there doesn't seem to be much penalty imposed for doing that these days, but certainly they'll be put in that spot.
Do you sense the same amount of nervousness to the point of panic, from the right wing about Occupy Wall Street, which, you know, because a lot of, again, the major themes, we are the 99% and regulating Wall Street are, you know, things that Obama and the Democrats have talked about and tried to do against opposition from Republicans.
Exactly right. And I think what you're seeing is that just by the nature of their characterizations of the Occupy Wall Street campaign, that they are scared to death of it because they have no real substantive argument calling them, whatever Eric Cantor called them. I mean, just ridiculous names, gangsters and hoodlums and all of these things that indicate to me that they are very, very much concerned about what.
Yes, a mob is someone.
We all wonder, you know, a mob, yeah.
A mob is someone that disagrees with you politically. Apparently, fine Americans exercising their First Amendment rights.
Yeah.
Are the Tea Partiers because they agree with them. Yeah.
Exactly. And of course, you know, in, at least in New York, this group has been treated with much greater oppression than the Tea Party ever was anywhere in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as Nancy Pelosi accurately pointed out, so the Tea Party was here spitting on members of Congress, and nobody ever put them behind fencing and tear gassed them. So.
Yep.
You know, they've really got no complaint or no argument. But, you know, I think all of us wondered when it was going to happen that citizens rose up and said, we're tired of this. It's happening now. And
I love it.
Was predictable, too, but it took a long time coming.
We played some on the some sound bites on the right wing of people saying, well, this is just like the 60s all over again. We can't have that. Yeah. What is their point that it would be good if we were still in Vietnam and didn't have civil rights? Like, what do you mean we can't have that again?
I don't get that. I mean, you know, I went through that era. I was in college in the 60s, and believe me, that was a great moment in American history because the American people rose up and ended a policy that was flawed and was above all dishonest because we were misled as a nation by our government. And it was a great victory for the American people. So we ought to be happy that there.
Well, Representative, what on the legislative front, what happens next now that this, you know, the bill has failed in the Senate?
Well, I think actually I was just in a meeting with Jack Wu from the White House, and what they're going to do is start figuring out the schedule. They could bring up some of these provisions within the next week. And again, they're going to be faced with these votes. They're going to be things that polling shows the American people support by margins of 70% to 80%. And so the Obama administration will be able to claim victory after victory. on these individual items. Because I guarantee you they will not have the solidarity of Republican opposition to these measures like they did to the whole package.
Yeah, well,
they will get Republican votes.
I mean, yeah, nobody's come out ahead underestimating the president politically. I mean, I think that that's, you know, you make really good points. And it's just, but, you know, the problem I think the president is trying to make is, you know, passing the bill now, it's because the American people can't really wait. I mean, he was trying to get this done as quickly as possible, right?
Well, exactly. And we do have a critical, acute need. And I think it's hysterical. I mean, if it were tragic, it's hysterical when the Republicans say, there's short-term fixes. Yeah, we've got a short-term problem. Now, you know, it's a year, 2 years, 3 years. We know that in the short term, the economy needs this kind of support because the recovery is weak, if there's any recovery at all. Job growth, we know, is not there. This is the time when we need a short-term stimulus, even though I know people say don't use that word. There's nobody else to do it. We know the private sector is sitting on $2 trillion. Well, they're not investing it, and so the government has to step in.
They have a plan, if you watch the Republican debate last night. It's Herman Cain's 999 plan, which he'll be signing into law when he's president. Which will solve everything, apparently.
Apparently so. Apparently so. Yeah. Michelle Bachmann's response was just kind of classic and shows where her head is. But if you turn it upside down, it was 666 right. And the devil's in the details.
Yes.
You know, that's the kind of juvenile, simplistic rhetoric that we get out of those candidates.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, I mean, it's opposite world when you watch the Republican debates, you know. I mean, literally, you know, you have to run away from anything that was a good, like Mitt Romney, you know, insuring a million kids is a bad thing, I guess, you know.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's amazing I've been kind of focused on this idea over the last few weeks that what's happened now is for too many people in public life, the difference between politicking and governing has disappeared. And too many people have no idea what governing means anymore. And I think those candidates on the Republican side clearly have no idea what governing means.
Well, and I just think it's important to point out, you know, when you're looking at Mitt Romney, who's apparently the front runner, you can't say it enough, 47th in job creation when he was governor of Massachusetts, and when he was in private business, which he keeps touting, he sent all those jobs overseas. I don't know what he's talking about. He's the job creator in the field. Do you?
No, I mean, you know, he's been the Darth Vader of jobs. He has, that was his stock in trade, was downsizing companies so they could pull out of distress. And we've seen far too much of that in this economy. And again, he was the, he's kind of the patron saint of job death.
Yeah. Yes, there you go. Thank you. Well said. You have yourself a fancy new Twitter account. It's twitter.com at Representative John Yarmuth.
Yeah, I got on board finally. As a former journalist who couldn't say anything in fewer than 700 words, I kind of was trying to figure out how to make use of Twitter, and what we're spending a lot of our time on is just making people aware of what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis, mm-hmm. and the conversations I'm a part of, and what's going on around Capitol Hill. You know, I think that's a useful way to use it. Yeah. Occasionally, if I come up with a pithy line like the Darth Vader of jobs, I'll throw that in there.
There you go. That's your first one. And don't forget to tweet. Don't forget to tweet. It was on
Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. All right.
Exactly right.
And Twitter is a great exercise in brevity, which helps a lot of politicians, especially on our side.
It's hard. 44 minutes after the hour.
Very difficult.
Representative Yarmuth, always a pleasure, sir.
Thanks, Stephanie. Good to be with you.
All right, you too. Talk to you soon. He's cute. Come on. He's excited about Twitter. You know your first day on Twitter, Hal. You know how that was.
Do you remember your first day on Twitter, Stephanie?
Sure. I was so nervous about it. I was up all night the night before.
A couple days ago.
Uh-huh.
Has it happened yet?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of 999, Herman Cain yesterday on the campaign trail. Playing the race card again?
They don't want black people to think for themselves. And this
Democrats?
Is why they're so upset with Herman Cain, who is now moving up into the top tier for the Republican presidential nomination, and that people are listening to me.
Mm. You know what upsets Stephanie Miller? People that refer to themselves in the
third person.
Uh-huh.
Like, Stephanie Miller.
Like, like that. Mm-hmm. 44.
Does that upset Stephanie Miller?
Yes, it's Stephanie Miller is
Stephanie Miller
upsetted.
Is very upset that Stephanie Miller's Stephanie Millerness is affected negatively by the Stephanie Millering of her Stephanie Millerness.
Stephanie Miller will be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. 45 minutes after the hour, the remaining moments of Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
See? We're having a nice time.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Time for Hal Sparks to prove his love by accompanying me to the Apple Store.
Oh,
helping
God.
Me purchase some products. We're having a BlackBerry blackout. I have no email in my BlackBerry, but Hal
Sucks
said no one
you.
Will report it because the media all have BlackBerries.
Well, yeah.
Right.
Time for me to... Well, he explained the whole thing to me. I can get an iPhone, and then that has the MiFi in it, and then it can open my iPad and my...
Well, a MiFi is... That's a brand name.
It's a brand name.
It has a Wi-Fi hotspot in there that you can turn on.
Yeah, which takes the internet and broadcasts it like a radio signal. This is something I'm using analogies you can understand.
To various Wi-Fi products around you.
Yeah.
You know, that was reminding me of when Mr. Marconi explained this whole thing to me when I started. Thank you. Now it makes sense.
You were in radio in Marconi?
Yes. I helped him invent it.
Yeah.
Tim in Minneapolis, you're
She was his Watson.
Yeah. Really?
Miller, get in here.
I
think I have a way for you to make a living telling fart jokes.
I think Tesla would beg to differ. I'm going to go out on a limb.
Tim in Minneapolis?
Yeah, how you doing, Steph?
Good. Go ahead.
Say, listen, at what point does the Democrats in the Senate say 3 years of filibusters are enough? Harry's got to go nuclear, and he's got to throw out the filibuster. If some of the great bills that Nancy and the House Democrats had put through the first couple of years had gone through, unemployment would be down to 5%, and we'd be talking about how can we slow this economy down.
Right, to keep inflation from being a problem. You're absolutely
exactly.
right.
Exactly.
You're
you know,
absolutely
enough
right.
Enough. Yeah. Enough's enough. If the Republicans take over the Senate in 2012, they're not going to tolerate the filibuster. You know, and Harry and the Democrats in the Senate got to say, hey, listen, it was not meant to be ran by some damn minority.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Good points. By the way, you were saying if the president, we thwarted an Iranian-backed plot to assassinate the Saudi ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
Did you, Eric Holder?
Mansour Arbabsiar, a naturalized United States citizen who holds an Iranian passport and was arrested last month in New York, is accused of working with members of an arm of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps to devise an international murder-for-hire scheme targeting the Saudi Arabian ambassador to the United States.
Yeah, but that guy isn't prosecuting the Black Panthers enough
for intimidating white voters who wouldn't have even gone to that poll place anyways.
Yeah, there's a
except to intimidate Black voters.
By the way, Fast and Furious callers, can you get some new talking points?
Yeah.
Hello,
regulars. We're a little tired of those.
Yeah,
that we've shot down quite a few times.
Yeah, exactly.
And quite fast and furiously, if I don't say so myself.
Fast and furious. Bush-era policy carried through into the next administration.
And approved by Daryl Issa, who is now going against.
Right, who's subpoenaing Eric Holder over it.
So.
Hey, this is a weird segueing into celebrity stack, and there's going to be a weird conspiracy connection here. Nearly 100 weapons to be used in Brad Pitt's movie World War Z were confiscated in Hungary because they had not been properly deactivated.
Oh.
I say either Jennifer Aniston or Eric Holder is somehow involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
And let this happen.
Those guns were borrowed from Fast and Furious 5, the leftover from the movie.
Exactly.
The actual
Fast 5?
Yeah.
Exactly.
God.
Ugh.
D-listed reporting Paul McCartney is someone's husband again. He just got married to Nancy Cheval.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Bob Walters was there. How romantic.
Oh, neat.
Same place he married his first wife, Linda, in the 60s. D-listed writing, everyone went back to Paul's mansion to slurp on vegan food as they nervously looked for Heather Mills to fly in on a broom that doubles as her other leg. Oh, come on.
Really?
Now.
And that's why you don't quote people like D-listed.
Sorry, I just did, though.
I know you do. And I hate it.
I'm sorry. It was the best moment of Dancing with the Stars when her leg flew off. And you can't even Cher crying and clapping for Chaz. This is not hit that highlight moment for me. And Sorry.
I don't know that I would qualify that as best. That's the...
Okay.
That's, yeah, I'm just saying.
Your taste, okay.
As somebody who has a friend who's missing a leg in exactly the same way, not the best moment. Just going to throw that out there.
She had a good sense of humor about it.
I know she had to, because what's
yeah,
her
what's
option?
She gonna have a bad sense of humor about it?
Option about it?
Yeah.
Being mortified and run off the stage?
She couldn't run at that point anyway.
Oh.
I think the important news is Octomom is going to be, they've hired her to be in a low-budget horror flick in which she plays a woman impregnated by a demon. I don't know what the name of the movie is, so keep you posted on that.
Ew.
That kind of is a horror film, isn't it? Not many children in the first book. Maybe just to me. I don't know. All right, Purina.
Well, I don't know if it's a horror. It's more like a magic trick or a clown car.
It is a clown car pregnancy.
Yeah. It's like a phone booth in the 50s,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
How many are in there?
Yeah, right.
God.
It's like the handkerchief trick in magic.
Colorful just, scarves.
Oh, my God. It
I
just
got another
keeps
one coming.
It's hilarious. They're all holding hands like elephants, nose to tail. I got him.
I lost him. Puppies. Just put down newspaper.
Too many.
Speaking of puppies, Purina is, I don't understand this. They're releasing what they say is the first TV commercial designed to appeal to dogs. It's for Beneful. They discovered a combination of sounds that attracts a dog's attention without distracting from the human-focused dialogue. The ad features a squeaky sound of a dog toy and a bell.
And then they attack your TV and
I
don't know.
Knock it over.
Everybody gets a big crack in their flat screen. Yeah, great.
Is that Elaine Boozler's line about oh, my dog will think it tastes good? Well, let me ask him. He's in the backyard eating his own.
Right.
My dog's my dog. Well, you've seen my dogs. They'll eat anything.
Oh, yeah.
They don't need fancy advertising.
No. Here's the interesting thing. You know how sad that ad is for? It's the people who believe that pet food ads are actually aimed at pets. Like, who think cat food ads are actually for cats.
Yeah, yeah.
Or dog food ads instead of just codependent sociopaths who want this idea that they're
even excuse me, who are you talking about?
I'm living in squalor, but my Persian cat's eating fancy feasts. Gourmet. Look, it's got peas in it. I like peas.
And I'm even weirder now because, as you know, I have cats now. I'm in a gay, you know.
You're a lesbian.
Biracial.
They
here's your cat.
It's a requirement.
Little man does a cute thing because they must have taken away from his mom too young. And so he sleeps in my hair and he paws at it because I guess he's trying to get milk out of my head. Isn't that cute?
I've never heard of any cat, and I'm being ironic to someone who's watching right now, of someone who has a cat that paws at their head. I know
they
someone.
He
that.
Actually digs. He doesn't just paw. He digs like a little hole.
Wait till they start licking your hair.
That's called making biscuits.
Yeah, he's trying to get into the boogity cheese area of my brain.
Yeah, Jazz does that on my shirt when I'm lying on the couch. He'll get up on me and he'll suck on my shirt.
That's so awesome and cute. Okay. It's another story about old people getting high by mistake.
Huh?
Old people inadvertently eating pot brownies. What's funnier?
Well, apparently someone's leg coming off on Dancing with the Stars.
I didn't say it was funny. It just was a highlight. It's a,
sure.
It was a startling moment. It's an unforgettable moment. The three were in their 70s and 80s. They were they snacked unwittingly at their friend's memorial service on a plate of pot brownies.
On a memorial service. That's the best part of the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't like they got into the wrong tray in the fridge because their grandson was visiting.
No.
This was at a memorial service.
Mm-hmm.
It was sort of a wake and bake.
Hey,
how's
it going?
Good night, Seattle.
And
that's our show for today.
We love you, Robbie.
I'm Hal Sparks. Check me out on the Twitter at Hal Sparks or Hal Sparks Fang page on Facebook or follow my band 01 or the record
SexyLiberal.com
Squeezy
for
toys.
The Sexy Liberal shows coming up. And we will see you tomorrow with David Bender and Jason Stewart and Carl Frisch.
Yeah.
All right, see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.